Hello and welcome to the Flynn Skidmore podcast. My goal is to help you become exactly who you want to be. We're here to help you take your biggest, boldest, most beautiful vision for life and turn that vision into reality. Welcome back to the Flynn Skidmore podcast. Today, we're talking about how to be an expert, how to deal with imposter syndrome, how to have a sense of knowing that in any room that you're in, you're valuable for being there, how to own the truth of your experience. I'm going to share some of my experience with manipulating others in order to be perceived a particular way. And I hope that you come away from this episode with a sense of confidence and like a vigorousness. I want you to be like experience vigor in the sense of like, fuck yes, right where I am is not necessarily where I want to be, but there's so much gold and value in this and nourishment and so many beautiful resources, not necessarily physical, material, or external, though they could be. There's so many resources right here, right now. I used to lie a lot when I was younger. Probably between like, actually, I switched schools. When I was in fourth grade, I really didn't like my fourth grade teacher. My mom cared a lot about that. I think we were on the subway heading to school one day, and I was generally a pretty happy kid. But we're waiting for the G train so that I could get to school. And I told her how envious I was of her dad because he got to just sit around and watch TV all day. And my mom is the type of person where she heard something like that and she knew that she wanted to put me in a new environment. So I went to a new school. Now, first day of a new school, 9 years old, starting to be like chubby kid. I mean, you know how that feels, or you can imagine how that feels. It's super overwhelming. At lunchtime, I'm sitting with the boys in my class, meeting all these new kids and learning that they play football and dodgeball in the recess every day. And I was pretty good at dodgeball, but I like weirdly lied and told them that I was like national dodgeball champion, something like that. And then I ended up getting picked first and I was like pretty good at dodgeball, but I wanted to manipulate a perception of me so that I could get access to a certain level of status and belonging. And I was successful with it. Starting at a young age, I knew how to do it. And it continued really until my mid-20s, but in my early 20s, I made a commitment to change it. But then in stuff like in college, I grew up in the public school system, not really exposed to people with that much money. And then I get to college and all of a sudden I'm around all these kids whose families have a whole lot of money. And it's interesting, my status seeking swings and my signaling behaviors. Cause in the beginning, I'm like, whoa, all these kids are super wealthy. They're like snorting Adderall and Coke and they have all these big homes and they went to private school. I need to be perceived as being that thing also. So I told everyone that I grew up in like the full brownstone. When the truth is that we grew up in the garden apartment of a brownstone. So just one floor with me, my sister, my parents. Really, it was like 1.5 bedrooms, but super, super cozy. But I lied to everyone and I said that my parents owned the whole brownstone. And then a couple guys came to visit me and stay with me. And I kept the lie up and I told them that we had to stay in the garden apartment because there were renovations happening on the house. Like, you know, that thing, like, why are you 18 or 19 and doing that? Why is that happening? I mean, I know why. It's just such a funny thing. At the time, it was so shameful for me. And the idea of getting caught was shameful. The idea of lying was shameful. I hated it, but I needed to be perceived a certain way. I needed to. The idea of being perceived for the truth of who I was just absolutely terrifying. I guess it was terrifying enough to be able to lie. And again, the thing is, you know, some people, I actually noticed kind of an interesting thing. Some people are really good at manipulating perceptions and they need status. They think that in order, like me, and I'm including myself in this. So need status, feel like the truth of who I am won't get me the status that I want. So I'm going to actually very successfully manipulate people's perception of me so that I have the status that I want. And it works. Like it gets me the status. Like I wasn't like top dog, but I was always near the top. But I want to speak about some nuance there. It's super, super interesting. So it was working to get status. Now, other people, I think actually like don't perceive themselves, don't believe that the truth of who they are will create the status that they want. And rather than manipulating perceptions, they like hide from the world. There's so much shame that the thing to do becomes to not even attempt to manipulate perceptions, but to just not really engage with the world. And I've gone through periods of my life where that seemed like the best option, or I guess it was the best option because it's what my unconscious, my conscious, my mind, and my body. So lying, manipulating perceptions, hating the truth of who I really was in all sorts of ways, being 21 years old and really wanting to be a guy who's waking up at 5:30 and reading 100 books a year and working out, really wanting to be that guy, really wanting to be guy who's like mysterious, but like, oh, still does well in school and doing horribly in school, like 2.5 GPA, but lying to girls about waking up at 6 a.m. Just doing that over and over and over. Now, when I was about 21 or 22, I had this moment where I was like, well, okay, I hate lying. This feels horrible. I'm laying in bed. It's 10:15 in the morning. My palms are sweaty. I feel disgusting. The sheets are like crumpled up, sticking to my feet. My feet are sweaty. And anytime I'm living a version of life that's like not the best, the most beautiful, I like secrete toxins from my body. it's always very clear to me when I'm not doing the aligned thing. So I'm feeling disgusting. I'm like, Flynn, dude, you just lie about so much stuff. Like really investing all this energy into manipulating perceptions about you. And I had this pretty cool moment where I was like, well, I actually want for people to see me these ways still. I mean, I kind of don't want to compromise on that. Like I do want to be well-read guy, athletic guy, like responsible and disciplined guy. I do want to be that. And I want to be able to share that with the world, but I don't want to lie about it. I want to be telling the truth. Oh, okay. Well, that means I actually have to do the things that I want to communicate that I do, which might seem like the most obvious thing ever, but I was like, oh shit. If I want people to perceive me as this person, I can just do the things that allow me to be this person. Which was revelatory at the time, you know, and you may have heard me speak about this before, but there's this thing that I experienced that was really frustrating. I think I spoke about this in the Dark Night of the Soul podcast. Like you probably experienced this. You have an insight into who you want to be and what you want to cultivate, what you want to create. And there's a gap between the truth of who you are and where you want to be. And then you always become someone in relationship to that gap. Most of my life, who I've become in relationship to that gap is controlling and impatient and frustrated and angry and bitter and victim-y and all that stuff. Just like mad that I couldn't be who I wanted to be right now and that the world can't perceive me the way I want to be right now, even though I know I'm capable of it, but I haven't done the repetitions. I haven't put the effort in. I haven't allowed physical reality to slowly take shape of the new energies I'm practicing over time. That's how I was. I didn't want to have to actually do the stuff in order, or like I didn't want it to take time. I wanted it immediately. But lucky enough, I allowed it to take time. That commitment right there, the commitment to never lying again, was huge for me. But it's not just not lying again, it's I want to be telling the full truth. And actually, that's one of the things that I value the most. I want to be one of the most truthful people that have ever existed. I want my soul to be fully transparent. And anything that's in my shadows or I'm ashamed of or I'm supposed to be ashamed of, like I want to speak about And I operate in the world like anything that I could be ashamed of, I know that I can use that thing as material to create stronger bonding and a stronger sense of belonging, which is very different than that thing that I was talking about, like craving status and belonging by lying about who I was. It's a very different experience to be like, oh, actually, no, my status and my belonging comes from being the person who's the most fully transparent, because all that transparency creates immense magnetism. And I'm experiencing that in my life right now, which is just so beautiful to have all these things where I'm like, oh, this thing you're supposed to be ashamed of, this thing you're supposed to be ashamed of, this thing everyone is ashamed of. Oh yeah, but this is just true about me. This is what my experience is. This is what I've done. Here's how I've hurt myself. Here's how I've hurt people. I apologize for it. I want to be operating these other ways, and here's what I'm doing in order to become the person who operates in these ways. Yeah, that's it. It's the power of that is insane, insane. And honestly, me doing this episode is an example of it. I mean, it's me practicing. Like I used to, it wouldn't be easy for me a few years ago to tell the truth about how much time that I had spent lying. So committed to telling the truth, but wanting to tell the truth about things that I actually liked. Not willing to give up on a particular perception of me, but actually being the person who could be perceived that way without having to lie was huge. Now, I still lied after that commitment, but the intention and the commitment in and of itself put me on a particular path. And I would say that I lie like, I don't know if I, honestly, I can't think of the last time that I lied. There are certain truths that I withhold, and I've made choices to, not like necessarily publicly, like with you. I'm not really talking about that, but like in some personal relationships, like there are opinions that I have that I'll withhold, or there are my certain interpretations or certain like true feelings about something that I'll withhold. And that's something that I'm like, we're doing another review incentive. So at the end of May 2024, we're going to pick one person who wrote a review between now and then to get a free one-on-one session with me. Instructions are in the description of this episode. And I just want to express how much I appreciate you. At this point, if you're a regular listener, you've got a whole bunch of access to the truth of who I am and to my soul. And that makes me feel really, really good. That is exactly the type of relationship that I want for us to be cultivating together. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your review. I hope it's you that I get to do a one-on-one with. I appreciate you so much. I guess working through, looking to understand, how do you navigate that? Like, is being fully transparent, telling the full truth of your internal experience? Is it actually worth it to have the type of relationships in life where you can tell the full truth of your internal experience, even if it's hurtful for someone? And I kind of think that it is. I kind of think that what I am committing to is that the people, the closest relationships that I have in my life I already have some of these people, but with people that I can tell the entire truth to, even the ugly things, even the things that they can't change and that are going to hurt them. I want to be investing because I'm that type of person. If someone said something about me, gave me feedback about something that I couldn't change or whatever, like I would love to have that conversation. And those are the kind of people that I'm looking to have. So that thing, the truthfulness, the transparency, the commitment, wanting to be one of the most truthful people to ever exist in the world. Okay, we're going to tie that into expertise in just a little bit. But I wanted to emphasize that commitment, the intention to never lying. But you're not going to get it perfect. Like you and I will probably lie for the rest of our lives about stuff. But it's the manipulation of the perception, the needing to be perceived as a particular way because you think that's going to be the thing that's going to get you status and belonging, when the truth is, at least the truth to my experience, is that the status and the belonging has come from, the magnetism has come from immense levels of transparency. And it feels so good. It feels so good to be able to sit here right now. And if you, and I would invite you to come into this room that I'm recording in and say, ask me anything and I will tell you anything. I do not have secrets. I really, really like being that way. I really, really like it. As far as I understand, the way that people developed in close, compact tribes is that everyone knew everything about everyone. gossip is a function that formed so that there is full transparency amongst the tribe. Everyone in a tribe of 150 people knows everything about everyone. I like that idea. And I can understand why as we've evolved as a civilization and population has increased and we're in cities and there's anonymity, I can understand the veering off towards privacy. I understand that institutions that abuse power will use people's private lives in order to hurt them. But I'd like to swing back in the direction of full transparency. I think that there's something about that with the nervous system and the human psyche that I'm just feeling amazing operating that way. And I just want you to consider that. It's something that might be really cool to commit to. Okay, so imposter syndrome. I have seen so many people in my life who are incredible people. Incredible, have so much to offer, so much potential, beautiful, valuable perspective, such good energy, so much curiosity. But the fear of being seen as an imposter, an outsider, a fake, an amateur, a beginner, someone who thinks they're smart but doesn't really know all that much, like the fear of that is just absolutely, it paralyzes them. They avoid the bold action over and over and over and over. I was just actually having a conversation with a client about this today. It's like speaking about the fear of being seen. I always think it's really valuable to unpack the fear of being seen. For this particular client, the fear of being seen is the fear of, oh, what happens when I enter the room of the people whose perspectives and opinions I really value and they don't see me as equal. Like they see me as inferior or lesser than. And what if I'm not really the person that I want to be? What if I get evidence that I'm not yet who I want to be based on how other people perceive me and what they demonstrate about how much they value me? And I can really understand that. What comes to mind is surfing. So when I'm out in the water in the lineup and I perceive myself to be the best surfer or one of the better surfers, I have so much fun. It's so easy to access play. When I perceive myself to be middle tier to worst, sometimes actually being the worst is the easiest because expectations are the lowest. But when I perceive myself to be middle to worst, I don't operate the same way. I'm not as playful. I get rigid. I'm in my head. It's less fun. And I'm trying to force myself to be loose and playful, but it's just not as available. And it's an interesting question to me because yes, there's perceived hierarchy and status and order involved. And who do I become when I perceive myself to be lower status? For sure, that stuff is there. But then there's also another way of thinking about it, which is like, well, if I really want to have the experience of play and I'm learning that being one of the better people is, it gets me access to play. Well, why don't, how good do I want to be? And am I holding myself accountable and responsible for being as good as I want to be? I think that there's really something to that. I, in my life, have noticed that accessing certain levels of external validation or some sort of fitting into a hierarchy in a particular way, it has unlocked something. Like I was deeply depressive and suicidal in my early through mid-20s. One of the most important things that ever happened was that I got to open a business at 23. I got to achieve an identity that I saw as remarkable. And then I was like, okay, now that I have this identity, I actually can, I'm creating momentum. I feel better. I'm not saying that's the answer, but I'm also saying a lot of people will discount that sort of external validation and how you fit into the hierarchy as that doesn't matter, whatever. That's not my experience. It's been incredibly valuable and useful. Now, over time, the success in particular hierarchies and getting better at certain things and achieving particular identities, interestingly, what it has done for me is set me up in a version of reality in an ecosystem where I could be wrong. I don't rely all that much in my day-to-day life on identity as a thing that keeps me safe. I'm very much what internal experience do I want to have? Okay, I'm having that internal experience. That's where my safety is, the unknown, creating experiences, creation, the creative unknown, the safest place in the universe. But I just want to acknowledge and emphasize that, like, those markers of external things, like getting better at surfing and getting to be one of the best people in the water, and any, there's something to that. If that inspires your soul to be good at this particular thing, then like, do that, like, get good at it, get good at it. The confidence that it brings is just, if you, okay, it's like the telling the truth thing. If you want the truth to be that you're a great surfer, then become a great surfer. That's it. Like, don't mantra yourself into oblivion, like telling yourself you're okay when you don't feel okay. Like, do the thing that you are called to do and inspired to do. Just want to point that out. Now, paralysis, imposter, not going for the thing, fear of being seen, valuable to unpack fear of being seen. What's actually happening? Is it because you're perceiving yourself to be low status somewhere and you're afraid of the rejection of people who are higher status? We're all afraid of that, and we will be afraid of that forever. But we can make it better. We can make it better. We can improve it. We can set it up so that it doesn't paralyze us so much. Let's define what it means to be an expert. And then we're going to speak a bit about creating your own flex hierarchy so that you're very clear on your own value system and you're very clear on what particular qualities and traits you value. So you're not just like blindly falling into like a whole bunch of self-judgment and self-oppression just because someone has a position of status or is like an authority figure. You're being much more nuanced. Like, do they actually have authority within your own hierarchy? Something really, really cool that I think is going to be helpful. So first, what's an expert? It's so simple. It's so simple. It's not a future place at which you can arrive. It's not an identity you can obtain, though you will obtain new identities in your process, but it's not about obtaining a particular identity. It's not about a place that you arrive at and now you've achieved expertise. Being an expert is wherever you are right here, right now. Right here, right now, you are 2 to 3 steps ahead of someone who's on a similar journey as you. Let's say it's being a therapist. 2 to 3 steps ahead of someone and 2 to 3 steps behind someone. And you will always be in that position, no matter how good of a surfer you become, no matter how experienced of a therapist you become. There will be someone 2 to 3 steps behind you. There will be someone 2 to 3 steps ahead of you. And on the flip side, no matter how bad you are at something, no matter how much of a beginner you are, there will be someone 2 to 3 steps behind you and someone 2 to 3 steps ahead of you. If, let's go with the surfing example. Let's say you've never surfed before, but you've done the research to figure out like what the board to use might be and where to learn, and you've accumulated some knowledge. You're 2 to 3 steps ahead of someone who hasn't figured that out yet. And there's going to be someone who has gotten in the water a couple times and who has tried it out, and they'll be 2 to 3 steps ahead of you and you can learn from them. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You'll never escape this place of being 2 to 3 steps ahead and 2 to 3 steps behind. And I love that because it means that there are infinite learning opportunities and infinite opportunities for helping others. And if you're worried about being an imposter, the thing that you want to do is probably be able to offer help to people and share your experience in some way. And you're not able to offer help to people because you don't yet see yourself as an expert, but you are. You're 2 to 3 steps ahead of someone. Now, what's the best possible expert energy? So the more you own the truth of, here's exactly where I am, here's exactly the experience that I've had, here's exactly the results that I've produced. And those results might just be, well, I have never even stood up on a board before, but I do have a sense of like maybe what the best board is, or I've done some research and here's what the research says about the best board and the best spots to learn. Owning the truth of where you are, what your process has been, and what your results are, that is the expert energy. The non-expert energy is what I was doing at 21, 20 years old, pretending to be somebody, pretending to be someone that I wasn't, trying to hide the truth of who I really was from the world because I was ashamed of that truth. That isn't it. Even if where you are is in a dark, deep hole of depression and suicidality, you're still 2 to 3 steps ahead of someone and 2 to 3 steps behind someone. Like, you can always take your experience and say, this is the truth of my experience. Here's what I'm experiencing. Here's what I've experienced leading up to it. This, what I'm experiencing is not necessarily representative of what I want. Here's what I want to be experiencing. Here's my current hypothesis, or here's my theory for how to create more of what I want and to become who I want. Here's where I am. Here's the truth of me. Here, see me, see me. And if it inspires you, if you like it, if it resonates with you, if you find something in my experience and my results that you think can be helpful, I would love to help you. That energy is it. Oh my God, it is it. I want you to experience that so badly. The swagger, the confidence that you'll be able to obtain, there to access, not obtain, operating that way is just, it feels so good. I feel like all of my, when I'm operating that way, I feel like all of my cells are able to speak to each other. Like there's like this magnetic center at each cell, and it's like, just like locked in, just feeling so good. Everything aligned, like feels so good. I want that for you so badly. I think that that energy, no matter where you are in the most, from the most beginner to the most advanced, that energy to me is the greatest flex that there is. So we'll speak about flex hierarchy in just a moment, but I want to say there's also a huge piece of this is owning the truth of where you are, owning the truth of what you actually desire and where you want to be. So let's go with surfing as the example. Let's say you're really bad, and I've spent most of my time surfing as really bad. I'm actually like frustrated at how little progress I've made with surfing. It's like astonishing. So the truth of where you are and the truth of where you want to be. So I'm way worse at surfing than I would expect to be given the amount of time that I've put in, but I want to be really good. How much do I want to be really good? And I don't mean that like, how bad do you want it? I just literally mean like, how big of a deal is it to you? How much do you want it? How important is it to you? And if it's super important to you, are you going to do what it takes? Going to put the work in to be as good as you want? Are you, do you trust yourself that you are going to take the 1,000, the 10,000, the 100,000 repetitions that it's going to require in order to be as good as you want? That, like, trusting that about yourself does something different. For instance, with tennis, I actually have gotten really good in a short period of time with tennis, and I know that I'm going to continue doing the things that I need to do in order to continue to get good at it. It's so, it sets me up for, it's just so easy to be like, here's the truth of what my skill is, and here's the truth of where I want to be. I know that I'm going to show up every single day, literally every single day, spend 62% of my life thinking about tennis, and I'm going to be the thing that I want to be. It just allows it, that allows me to own where I am so much deeper. And a really interesting thing that I've noticed is in the process of getting good at tennis has allowed me to tell a different story about myself than the story that I was telling when all of my focus was going into surfing, which has been an interesting thing. Now that I get to have access to a different story about myself, given my experience with tennis, and maybe it's not just story. Maybe it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just like true transformation, true resonance of the cells, true, like truly playing a different note in my body. I can be so much more honest about how good or not good I am at surfing. Whereas a year and a half ago, I probably would have operated with a little bit of hiding the truth energy around surfing, a little bit more of it. That's just something interesting to consider. When you are becoming who you want to be, what happens with your relationship with the parts of you that you previously sought to hide from the world? And how do you create a life for yourself? How do you create a version of yourself who's amplifying, whoom, getting bigger and bigger, whoom, energetically, not necessarily in body, though body if you want to, but whoom, 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 getting bigger and bigger, more beautiful, more coherent. In that process, you're able to be more transparent. You're able to reveal more of the truth of your soul and your experience. I just really want to emphasize for you how amazing that is, how good it feels, how powerful it is, how magnetic. Just like how magical it is truly. Like I feel like I exist in a magical reality because of how often beautiful things happen. And I think a lot of it has to do with my willingness to be like warmly and lovingly transparent about the good, the bad, the ugly. Okay, now let's talk about flex hierarchy. This has been huge for me. So flex hierarchy is using the ego as a tool. I love the ego. I think the ego is incredible. For me, ego is simply the process of differentiation. A flower, flowers are different from each other. Blades of grass are different from each other. Cells in your body are different from each other. I love differentiation. I love life. I love this physical existence. It's so fun. It's so interesting. I just think it's fantastic. So that's what the ego is. It's differentiation. Now, the thing about the human ego that does seem to be a bit torturous is there's something where it's like, oh, I'm too different or I'm not different enough. And the way that I am is hindering my access to belonging and status and fitting in. I either need to be more different. I need to have a Bugatti that's better than this other person's Bugatti. That's what's going to get me to fit in. Or I'm too different. So I need to figure out how to not be different and normalize so that I can fit in. Interesting stuff. It's all status and it's all belonging and status. All so much of it is belonging and status. It's the truth of me, what I am right now won't work in order for me to access the resources that I want, internal and external resources. So I need to be something different. This moment is not okay. I need to be somewhere else, to be experiencing something else, to be someone else in order to get access to the resources that I desire. Internal and external, mostly internal resources. So that's where that's the torturous the element of the, or let's say expression of the human ego. I do not feel tortured by my ego. And again, I could be absolutely delusional. Like I could be operating with so much ignorance that it's comical. I don't think so though. Like I really think that I have learned to play and have fun with my ego, to use it as like an artistic component. So with the ego, with differentiation, I have things that I value. Now, I know I'm a person who knows that anything that I could possibly value comes down to the internal experience. So if it's the Bugatti that's $100,000 more than this other person's Bugatti, well, what do I actually want there? If I perceive myself to have this level of status, what do I actually want? What does it actually do for me? Oh, when I have the best Bugatti that's ever been made, which by the way, I'm a Toyota 4Runner guy for life. No matter how successful I become, that's my whip forever. So I'm just using this as an example, which by the way is like my, just to say this, like that to me is a flex. Being 4Runner guy, despite however successful I am, that's a flex to me. And I like that. I like creating with the ego in that way. Anyway, and I'm saying that just because I invite you to do the same. Like what are the things that are flexes for you? So I know that if I have the Bugatti that's $100,000 more, well, what does that do for me? That gives me these hot girls and these friends and these like networking opportunities for business and this experience when I roll up to the restaurant in Miami and this. Okay, if I have that, what does that do for me? And I'm just going to accelerate this process. Let's say it's confidence and joy and peace. Okay. I want the Bugatti that's $100,000 more. And when I break it down and distill it, it's because I want joy, confidence, and peace. Okay, so that means that I value joy, confidence, and peace. And if I want joy, confidence, and peace, then it's my responsibility to become joy, confidence, and peace, to be it in how I relate to everything in my internal world and my external world, to become the thing that I want. So for me personally, in my flex hierarchy, I love warmth. I love warmth and kindness and humor. And like, this isn't really an internal experience, but like personality, like, just give me your soul. Show me what your soul is. Like those things. I love that expressiveness, fun, playfulness, delight, enthusiasm. I love those things. Those are the biggest flexes to me. No matter who a person is, how they dress, how they like present themselves to the world, what their identity is. Any identity is interesting to me if that person is using their experience of life to cultivate and amplify particular internal experiences. And the person to me who's just absolutely amplifying warmth and joy and kindness, like truly, no matter what gear they're rocking, no matter what car they're driving, no matter how they present themselves, no matter what music they like, even if I hate their music, I love them and I really want to interact with them because they are amplifying the internal experiences that I find valuable and that I find to be the biggest flexes. And yes, I'm operating with hierarchy. If someone is operating with shame, I do not see that as a flex or meanness or like that is the least flex ever to me. And sometimes I shame that stuff, though, you know, not really. Like generally I meet it with curiosity and awe and wonder, but I don't think it's a flex. Like it's not cool to me. So when you have your own flex hierarchy and you're really cultivating this thing for yourself and you're holding yourself responsible for the internal experiences that you want. Okay. So when you're doing the thing with like, oh, this is the group of people I value, like these surfers, like even though they're like kind of dickheads, they're so good at surfing and they're so cool. Oh my God. Even though they're like really mean and like all that, all the surf culture stuff, which is nuanced and complex. And you know, that's like a whole other thing, but let's say you're a therapist and you want to put content out and help people and the people that, and you're worried about being judged by the people that you see as better than you. You have them on top on a hierarchy and they exist above you and you're worried about being rejected by them. But are they even flexing in the way that you find to be a flex? If you are creating content and you're doing so with this intention to help people 2 to 3 steps behind you, and you're doing it with exuberance and zest and joy and passion and love. For me, I don't care if you have 3 followers. That is a flex to me, a massive flex. And I'm not saying that my flex hierarchy, in my opinion, is the correct one or that you need to value it. Like you may think I'm the worst. But I just want you to know if that's you and you have 7 followers and you're like cultivating exuberance and zest and joy and like seeking to help people and you're willing to take those risks, I see that as a 10 million times bigger flex than the person who's like unkind or who would judge you or who might have power and status, but who judges you and shames you because you don't yet know enough or something like that. The way that people treat beginners to me is so indicative of what they are experiencing internally and what they value. Even if consciously they say they value kindness, if their truth is that they would shame someone who's a beginner, then they don't actually value kindness. Who you are is what your patterns are over time. So I just want you to think about it like that. Like I want you to have the experience of not getting sucked into the conventional hierarchy. So just because someone is like a Harvard-trained therapist and has written 75 papers, but they're a dickhead, if you value dickheadness, then amazing. But if you value kindness and warmth, I want you to feel like if you are holding yourself accountable and responsible for being super kind and warm, I want you to have the experience of like, if you're being a dick, like that's not a flex. Like I'm orienting in this direction. And if you'd like to come, if the person who's being a dick, the Harvard 75 paper, if they're being a dick, they can come along if they'd like to, if they're inspired by the warmth and the fun and the joy and they want to be part of that. Incredible. Yes, we love that. That's a flex to acknowledge that you're not being the way you want to be and want to change it. We love that. You're invited. But if you're not operating that way, then we appreciate you-ish. We love you. We understand, but we're orienting in this direction. Now, here's the thing that I really want to emphasize. There's also the element of becoming the good surfer. So I just reposted this guy named Jordan Burroughs, who's my buddy Connor, who you may, Connor works with Jordan. Jordan is an Olympic level wrestler for the US. Jordan is an absolute animal. I saw this reel today where he's speaking about something like he's a tough match for anyone that he comes up against, that he could beat anyone on any given day. Now, some people, when they speak about that stuff, like you can feel that they're faking it. They're just like, that's like mantraing yourself into oblivion. They don't actually believe it, but they've been told that they need to like believe it or else they can't have it, but they don't believe it and they're faking it. And they're afraid that they're not actually a tough match. And by performing confidence, they're actually hiding away the truth of this thing that they think is inevitable, but all that. When Jordan is speaking in that video, It is a perfectly tuned musical note. It is resonant. He is speaking the truth about himself. There's a big difference between someone who is actually just speaking facts, speaking the truth about who they are, versus a person who's performing the confidence. He's just telling the truth about where he's at and his process. And he has earned that resonance because he's outworked all of us. He has worked for decades at this thing. He's put in millions of reps. I don't know anyone else on the planet who's out earned him for that level of resonance. How good would that feel to be able to speak about yourself in that way? Like, how good would that feel? I feel 47%, probably even less than that, probably like 26%. Like able to access whatever Jordan is accessing. But I want to. I want to be 60 years old and be able to speak about myself the way that he is. And I hope that you want the same thing for yourself. I really hope that you want greatness. And the question is, if I want to be able to speak about myself that way, what's it going to take? What are my millions of repetitions? What are my millions of repetitions to engage in the process that I want to engage in, to amplify the power of my heart, to become more of who I want to be, to help people who are 2 to 3 steps behind, to always learn from people who are 2 to 3 steps ahead? What's it going to take? What's it going to take to earn that level of resonance? Remember going back to before, there are people who see the gap between where they are and where they want to be, and they shame themselves for not yet being who they want to be. I used to be that person. I was so frustrated, so impatient, so annoyed, so mad, so angry with the world. And then there's the experience of being in love with the gap. It's like, oh my God, I can't wait to play in this space. I can't wait for this process of playing and becoming who I want to be, understanding that it's an infinite process. Like, that's what I want you to experience. So, expert, 2 to 3 steps ahead of someone, 2 to 3 steps behind someone, own the truth of who you were, like the deepest truth. I really encourage and invite you to just to make the commitment to exposing your soul to the world. I think it might seem unsafe. I actually think that it's the safest thing to do. I can't conceive of anything safer. It asks a lot of things of you to commit to that. So fully transparent soul, giving every little nugget of mitochondria, of every cell, every ounce of your soul to the world. Highly recommend that you do that. Owning the truth of your experience, owning the truth of where you're at, owning the truth of what you desire, owning the truth of how good you want to be at something, and being and becoming that good at that thing while also not needing to pretend to be better than you actually are. That's a very like beautiful little tune to play there. And then lastly, the resonance and the truth of being able to speak about yourself like you're a challenge for anyone on the mat any given day, and the experience of actually telling the truth about that because you've been Jordan and you've put millions of reps in order to access that. Jordan started at like 5 years old. So he's got a lot of time on us. We have a long way to go, you know? Like I'm looking to be one of the greatest athletes in the world in my age bracket at 60. We have a long time. Like you can be great at 60, 70, 80, 90. You can be great at 100. You can be setting world records at 100. What's the truth of what you want? And what does it look like when you fully own the truth of where you are, where you want to be? You invest no energy in lying or creating false, like manipulating perceptions of you, and understanding that you're never going to be perfect. It'll be a process, and living in service of the world in that way. Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all. Really appreciate. We found out that our podcast is number 2 in personal development in the United States, behind something that the Wall Street Journal produces. And that's just like absolutely mind-blowing to me. I don't think about those numbers at all, which feels really good, honestly. I just really am just trying to tell the truth about who I am and how I operate in the world. That's really what I want to do. And the fact that I don't even really know how many people listen, but the fact that that's valuable to you and you resonate with it, and the shit that I say that I know is a little bit crazy, that it's meaningful and useful and valuable to you, it means it's so cool for me. It's so, so cool. And I appreciate you so much. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm like very well aware that I say crazy shit. And the fact that you like that makes me really like you. Like, that's a huge flex in my eyes, you being the way that you are. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. I love you.